The following is a presentation of VBR. Welcome, and thank you for joining us in our study of God's Holy Word.
Welcome back to our video Bible readings. We're ready to consider the second epistle of the Apostle John. And it's not often in this video series that we can read a whole New Testament letter all at once, so let's do that now. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come unto you any, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. We call 2 John a letter, but it's really more like a postcard. Just 13 verses and brief ones at that, occupying only a portion of a page in our Bibles. It's a postcard about living in the truth. In fact, in the first four verses, the word truth appears five times. It's about loving truth, knowing truth, upholding truth, walking in truth. It would be difficult to overemphasize the importance of divine truth. Jesus Christ is the truth, full of grace and truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. The Bible is called the Word of Truth. We worship God in spirit and in truth. We speak the truth, obey the truth, love the truth, and guard the truth. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, we live in a world full of lies, but you and I live in the light of the truth. Truth characterizes us because truth is essential to spiritual life. We defend the truth and proclaim the truth. In this postcard, the Apostle John writes to an unnamed lady. She was a faithful sister in Christ who was known to John. And I take her to be a literal woman. In some of the highly figurative portions of the Bible, the church is referred to as a woman. And that's a possibility here. But this is not a symbolic portion of the Bible. And I go by the old rule of thumb that when the literal sense makes good sense, seek no other sense. The reason for the postcard was the invasion of false teachers into the homes of well-intentioned, hospitable believers. And the purpose of the postcard was to help the believers be more discerning. They knew that they were to love those who were in Christ. So when somebody came claiming to be in Christ, they were vulnerable to false teachers who said they represented Christ but really represented Satan. False teachers came embedding themselves in the homes of true believers. This postcard is a warning about that strategy and that ploy. The only way you're going to be able to distinguish is when you know the truth. The fellowship of love is as wide as the fellowship of the faith, which comes by hearing the Word of God. Truth is at the basis of our fellowship. We demonstrate Christian hospitality to those who are of the truth. The only way to be saved is to come to a knowledge of the truth. Verse 1 says truth unites us. Verse 2 says truth indwells us. Verse 3 says truth blesses us. Verse 4 says truth controls us. Our whole life is in the sphere of the truth. We not only live in the truth, but we love in the truth. Truth is always upheld in perfect balance with love. So the Apostle John in this postcard calls for discrimination. He calls for a measure of skepticism. He calls for being analytical. He calls for not just accepting everybody who says they're in Christ. He says love is not a new commandment. This is the one you've had from the beginning. John became known as the Apostle of Love, but one time he was a son of thunder. He wanted to call down fire from heaven and incinerate a whole village. But he became known as the Apostle of Love, and he says, I'm not writing a new commandment to you. I'm not telling you something you don't know. The law itself was just a summary of love, and love is the fulfilling of the law. The defining mark of the true believer is that he loves. John says, I'm not inventing something new here. I'm not innovating the way the heretics do. This is something you've heard from the start. Now back in 1 John chapter 2, verse 8, he said, on the other hand, I am writing a new commandment to you, because you've never really seen what love looks like in the way you see it now in Christ. God has never become man before. Clear back in the 13th chapter of his gospel, John says of Jesus that having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto perfection. And that's our example. So back here in 2 John verse 6, he says, we love one another. It's not a new commandment, but yet it has a newness to it. There is no escape from obedience in love. Our love is defined by our obedience to Scripture. We're not talking about some sentimentality here. Ephesians 5:2 says, walk in love as Christ also loved. Christ loved by being perfectly obedient to his Father. Living in the truth encompasses loving in the truth. Loving in the truth demands being loyal to the truth. This is the heart of this postcard. The limits on what our loving can allow are set by Scripture. You can only truly love in absolute obedience to the Word of God. Love each other according to His revelation. Be joined together in love and allow this love to issue in Christian conduct. You can't live and love in the truth unless you're loyal to the truth. John sets some very careful limits. Christian love is fixed as to its definition. You can't embrace those who are against the truth, or truth will be lost. Love without truth embraces deceivers. Many deceivers are entered into the world. The New Testament is just chock full of warnings about them. Too many verses to even begin to consider. And the message is, don't be stupid. Don't be unwitting. Don't be unwary. 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. 1 John 4, verse 1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God. For many false prophets are gone out into the world. The third verse of the letter of Jude, Earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints, for there are certain men crept in unawares. Most of the letter of Jude is about those people. 2 Peter 2 is about those people. There shall be false teachers among you. The Apostle John is not talking about being deceived into Buddhist theology. The Apostle John is not talking about somebody coming along and trying to make a Muslim out of you. This is a claim to belong to Christ. This is Satan transforming himself into an angel of light, 2 Corinthians 11. There are many deceivers, says John. The word is planos. We get our word planet from that word. And the word means a wanderer, a rover, moving about to seduce and lead astray. These pretenders are deadly. And everywhere the truth goes, they go. The Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses, everywhere the truth goes, Satan sends them. And they preach their other gospel. In verse 7, the Apostle John says, many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. There are a number of ways to deny the gospel. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 4, the Apostle Paul there talks about another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel. People who do not believe in the triunity of God have another God. People who do not believe that Jesus is God have another Jesus. A lot of people talk about Jesus. Sometimes I ask people, which Jesus do you preach? And they'll say, oh, there's only one Jesus. Actually, there are lots of them. True, there's only one real Jesus. And 1 John 4:20 says that Jesus Christ is the true God. Fully human, fully divine. But a lot of people have a Jesus who is not the Jesus of the Bible. John is using the Gnostic doctrine as an example because Gnosticism was the main manifestation of this issue in his time, and it was the immediate issue for the woman he's writing to. The Gnostic docetics, and the word dokeo means to seem to appear, they had a sort of a phantom Christ. They had a Christ who was really an illusion. They went so far as to say that if Jesus stepped in the mud, he wouldn't have left a footprint because he only seemed to be there. If you tried to touch him, your hand would go right through it because he wasn't really there. He wasn't in the flesh. He appeared to be in the flesh, but he couldn't really take on flesh because matter is evil. Spirit is good and therefore could not take on flesh because flesh would taint it. You know, human philosophy is always a convenient ploy for sin. Matter is evil, my body is matter, so how can you blame me if my body sins? If docetic Gnosticism is true, Jesus could not die as a substitute for man because he wasn't really man. He was only a phantom, only an illusion. And he couldn't rise from the dead because God can't die in the first place. So this undoes everything. Judaism denied that the Messiah had come in the flesh, and Gnosticism denied that the Messiah could come in the flesh. But he had to be God to conquer sin and death, and he had to be man to substitute for us. Any tampering with the gospel is outrageous. This is a deceiver and an antichrist, a deceiver in relation to man and an antichrist in relation to the Lord. With those two meanings of the word antichrist, either against or in the place of. Back in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, we saw that you have heard that antichrist shall come, and even now there are many antichrists, plural. They're all over the place. They've all got the same spirit. And down in verse 26 of 1 John 2, John said, I'm writing concerning those who are trying to seduce you. 2 Corinthians 11:2, I've betrothed you to one husband, that is Christ, verse 3, but I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, that your mind should be led away from the simplicity that is in Christ. Sometimes we're accused of being unloving, sometimes we're accused of being narrow-minded or even strident, but when it comes to defending the truth, we should be all of those things and more. There are times when the church seems a little embarrassed by its narrowness, but we stand where the Apostle John stood. John had labored in this woman's life. He knew of her faith. He knew of the faith of her children, and he wanted to see the full fruit of that labor. He says in verse 8, I'm afraid that if you don't start being more vigilant about who you take into your house, we might lose what we've worked so hard to accomplish. So he puts limits on her expressions of love. In verse 9, he says, whosoever transgresseth, that means to go too far, whoever goes too far and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. If you deviate from the biblical teaching of Christ, you just don't have God. This is an emphasis on the centrality of truth. Live in the truth and love in the truth and be loyal to the truth. What seems to have prompted this postcard was the issue of hospitality. Inns in those days were dangerous and often immoral places. So Christians opened their homes to other Christians. And the false teacher could become embedded in the very fellowship of the saints. John is writing most likely from the city of Ephesus. He says, "The children of your chosen sister greet you." Now, the sister herself is not included. She may have been dead or she may have lived somewhere else. But the sister in Christ that John is writing to was probably a compassionate, tender-hearted, gracious lady who had been allowing people into her home who should not be there. This was a warning. The church was loving. The church was hospitable. Therefore, they were vulnerable. John writes to establish the limits. 1 John 5:12, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Everything in the gospel comes down to the Son. If you don't have the Son, you don't have life. If you don't believe in the true Christ, you can't be a Christian. And we shouldn't treat you like one. Many deceivers have gone out into the world. They have a warped view of Christ. Just because somebody uses the expression Jesus Christ doesn't mean they're talking about the Christ of the Bible. They may very well represent Satan. You know, there's no word in the English language that's quite so meaningless as the word God until it's defined. And a similar thing is true about the expression Jesus Christ. It's easy to conclude when we hear the word Jesus Christ that somebody's talking about the Christ of the Bible, but that is sometimes not true. The people from Unity Village, for example, they talk about Jesus Christ all the time, but they don't mean the Christ of the Bible at all, not even close. Actually, there may be more well-known popular people who claim the name of Jesus Christ, who belong to Satan's kingdom, than who belong to God's kingdom. Anybody who goes too far, anybody who runs ahead, anybody who goes beyond what? Where is all the teaching that we need about Jesus Christ? It's right here in the Bible. They go beyond the Bible. Progress is only good when it's in the direction of Christ, not away from Him. Jesus Christ is the center and Jesus Christ is the circumference. Anything that doesn't come from Jesus has no authority. Anything that doesn't lead to Jesus has no validity. So the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 6, that we need to learn not to go beyond what is written. Any movement away from the doctrine of Christ is progress in the wrong direction. Now, people have always questioned, is Christ the subject or the object here? In other words, is it the teaching about Christ or the teaching of Christ that we must not go beyond? To me, the answer is obviously both. The teaching about Him is consistent with His teaching. We don't need to try to separate the two. The truth about Christ is taught by Christ. The thrust here is the biblical teaching about Jesus Christ. If somebody goes beyond that or does not remain loyal to that, they do not have God. You can't get to salvation without the gospel. You can't get to salvation with a warped gospel. And you don't get to the Father without the Son. There's no possibility of knowing God apart from knowing Christ. The New Testament strongly states the exclusivity of the gospel. And that's why so many people hate Christianity so much. It's that exclusivity. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. When you meet somebody who has perverted the gospel, somebody who has deviated from it, added to it, gone beyond it, we need to act very wisely. We're not talking about somebody who is coming to learn from you. We're talking about somebody coming to teach you lies. We answer the questions of the sincere, ignorant seeker. We answer the questions of people who want to know and who are teachable learners. But the people John is talking about are not learners. They are emissaries of deception. We do not affirm them, and we do not give a platform to deceivers. We don't receive an apostate, lying deceiver who's looking for a foothold. Do not receive him into your house. Now, maybe the church met in this woman's home. Maybe not. We're not given that detail. But it interests me that the Apostle John does not say, "Don't receive him into the church." Not that we should, But that doesn't seem to be the issue here. Churches then, as now, were protected by elders, and elders were apt to teach. Elders would hold fast the faithful word that they had been taught, that they might by sound doctrine both exhort and refute those who would contradict. Elders could handle the empty talkers and deceivers. That's one of the things elders do. So rather than immediately making a frontal assault on the church, the false teachers are first going to go after the most vulnerable, whom they hope to pick off. They go to the home. They want to get you on your front porch. These are the kinds of people the Apostle Paul was writing about in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6. Of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women. They look for the weak, they look for the sympathetic and the tender-hearted and the compassionate, and they embed themselves there. John says, don't receive them into your house. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He says in verse 10, don't give him any kind of a greeting that encourages him. You may not realize it, but your presence is a source of joy. Your presence can be perceived as an affirmation of solidarity. You don't ever want to give a false teacher the impression of support or encouragement in his teaching of that which is not true. If that seems narrow and harsh, we need to remember that this commandment really holds everybody's best interest at heart. When you hear somebody demanding that you love them, you may be dealing with a false teacher. They will very often complain that we're not loving them right. But really, we're doing the only things in our control that may help them to come to their senses while at the same time protecting the weak in the faith. Psalm 119, verse 104. From thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. It's impossible not to if you understand the truth. Nothing is as dangerous as deception because nothing is as precious as truth. I want to say that again because it needs to be emphasized. Nothing is as dangerous as deception because nothing is as precious as truth. The Lord talked about wolves in sheep's clothing. Paul talked about grievous wolves, not sparing the flock. It's impossible to overstate the importance of this. Paul told Titus that the mouths of the false teachers must be stopped. John says, if you give a false teacher an encouraging greeting, you are participating in his evil deeds. Again, Psalm 119, this time verse 128. I esteem all your precepts concerning all things to be right, therefore I hate every false way. If you love the truth, you hate every false way. I hate false doctrine because I love people. We live in the truth, we love in the truth, we're loyal to the truth, and that limits our expressions of love. The truth can be lost in the name of tolerance and love. The truth can be lost in trying to be relevant. So many churches, in trying to be relevant, have become absolutely irrelevant. Take your stand with people who stand for truth. And please join us for our next video.